For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Well, hello, beautiful Sound of Planet community. It's amazing that you are here today. Today we have again a podcast episode in English language. I hope it's good for you. And well, today I have an amazing guest. I have to say, I feel so, you can see her smile already. I feel so honored, right? Really so honored to have this interview guest today to share time with us. Anjalee Gopalan. I think I said the name right now. Anjalee, you correct
totally.
Me?
Totally.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, welcome, Anjalee, and thank you so much for your time. It feels really amazing, and I feel honored very much. Thank you.
And Maggie, I'm so happy to meet you because just what you're doing is so inspiring. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Thank you. Well, for the community, for everyone to know a little bit about who Anjalee is. Anjalee is an Indian animal and human rights activist. She's as well founder and executive director of the NAS Foundation Trust. This is an NGO which is dedicated to the fight against HIV and AIDS epidemic in India, right? And you're working a lot for decriminalization in India. And I have to say, I just checked out a bit online. It's impressive how many awards you have. Just shortly. I don't talk. I can imagine you don't really care so much, probably. But I have to say, this is just big. Like in 2001, you have been awarded with the Commonwealth Award. In 2003, you received the Sadhguru Gnanananda Award. In 2007, you have been honored as a Woman Achiever by the Ministry of Women and Child Development. And in the 2012 Time Magazine placed you on the list of the 100 most influential people in the world. And in 2013, you have been awarded the Chevalier de la Légion d'honneur. This is the highest award from France. Like, wow. I mean, I can't imagine there are many more. I don't know them all, but wow. Welcome, Anjalee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, Anjalee, can you tell us a little bit about yourself from your own perspective? Who are you and what are you doing and what do you stand for? And later we go a bit more into the details.
Sure. So I would have told you if you had asked me this question a few years ago. I would have said I'm a human rights activist, and I would have told you that that's what I do and that's what I believe in. But I think what has happened over the years, and this has to do with maybe getting older, my own understanding of rights has changed. I definitely realized as I've gotten older that it cannot be an issue of one set of rights versus another. I could not understand anymore how we could only talk about human rights and not look at the rights of everyone else who has a right to be on this planet, to exist. Mm. So I think I'll flip my experience around from what yours was. You went from being an animal rights person to human rights, and I went from being human rights person to animal rights, and I do believe they are part of the same continuum. So I started my work with HIV many years ago in the 80s in the US. Then I moved back to India and continued with that work. And part of that, of course, I run a home for children living with HIV who are orphans, who have lost both parents and they themselves have HIV. And part of our HIV work also was to work with the LGBTQI community in India. Mm-hmm. And advocacy is a major part of what we do. And changing the law became really important because homosexuality was criminalized in this country. Imagine in this day and age, right? Mm-hmm. From a law from our British days, from 1860.
It's insane.
It's insane. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But anyway, an 18-year battle, law has been, homosexuality has been decriminalized in our country. But still today, in 2022, the community doesn't have any rights, apart from being decriminalized, right? Mm. They don't have the right to marry for those who want to get married. Mm. They don't have the right to adopt. They don't have the right to inherit, you know, all of those things, which to my mind doesn't make any sense. Mm. But anyway, so the battle has to continue, and one will continue for as long as one can. And I think what has happened and what has saved me was my work with animals and permaculture, understanding permaculture, and learning to farm. Mm. And that has saved my soul, I think. Because if this had not happened, I think I would have lost my mind. So then but having set up a home for children, I realized I didn't want to set up another center which would involve care. So for animals, so I started volunteering with a vet who is to run a shelter. Mm-hmm. And I was appalled when I saw the way the animals were treated there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. Now I have to set up a shelter because that to show quality care is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's the same thing with children.
Yeah.
When we set up the home, I was very clear that I wanted a home for the children and not an institution.
Yeah.
It wasn't about institutional care. So I wanted the same for animals. And that's how I set up All Creatures Great and Small. And the reason it's called All Creatures Great and Small was because it was one of the first books my dad gave me when I was a kid. And I cried when I started reading. And then my father took away the book and said, no, I'm going to give it to you when you're older. But you know, I fell in love with James Herriot, I think when I was in the fourth grade or something. Mm. I said, I must, when I decided to finally set up this place, I named it All Creatures Great and Small in his honor.
Nice.
This is
really amazing. And that's kind of the way why I even know you, because I was in India traveling some years ago and met Lalit, a friend who showed me the All Creatures Great and Small. Wow. Yes. He was in south of Delhi. South of Delhi. And it was so beautiful. I felt like I felt so welcomed from everyone, from the people and from the animals. And it was like such a peaceful place. And Lalit gave me then the contact to you. That's for the community to know. That's how I got to know you. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah. This will probably, if everything works out, will be part of my documentary movie as well. So thank you.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, that would be a great honor.
Yeah.
But that's what saved my soul, I think. So of course, we started out, this is in a rural part of India, between Faridabad and Gurgaon in the state next to Delhi. Hmm. It's on the border and it's in a beautiful location. It's in the Aravalli Hills, which are one of the oldest mountains in the world. Mm-hmm. And extremely rocky and beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So anyway, that's where we started out. And I started with dogs. I opened it to taking the dogs that were at the other place. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, we have 500 dogs. And really, it is crazy. It's mad. Yeah. But the
you
point
have as well 15 that, dogs in your house.
I have 15 dogs at home.
I love it.
Like, it is a mad. I mean, I'm just surrounded by this incredible, lovely madness. but you know, because we were in such a rural area, I was thinking only dogs and maybe cats. Mm-hmm. So we now have 200 cats. Mm-hmm. And then the other animals started coming. So now we have cows and, you know, buffaloes and bulls and pigs, donkeys, horses. Yeah, we have the range, including emus.
Yes, emu, I saw. Yeah. Awesome.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, that's my life. And I really thank whatever is out there looking out for me. Mm-hmm. That this happened. Otherwise, I think it would have been hard. It would have been hard.
Without that, you mean, right?
Yes, without that. Because I think animals teach you.
Oh, yeah.
They teach you things that you are not even aware of. For example, I think I deal with death and dying in a very different way today than I did earlier. Because I work with children living with HIV, we've lost a few. And it was very difficult because when you bring up a child, it's even if the child is not yours, it doesn't matter.
It is somehow still yours when you feel connected.
Yeah, it is so difficult to deal with. death. And I think I today the way I'm able to deal with death because of the animals is so different, you know. So we learn so much across species if only we allow ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I'm not sure how it is with you, but I think that humans, we sometimes see ourselves, or most of the time, we see ourselves on the top of the food chain and we are like there. Yeah. We have everything in control. But in the end, if we look closer, we don't understand anything. If we look how animals are living, this has nothing to do with the cruelty of humanity. And this is what I learned as well from my Puma, from my dog, he's called Puma. He gave me so much inspiration and help in quite hard times I was going through. I was walking with him in the forest, and that was the biggest, it's so beautiful, the biggest healing ever. And it's just to be, we can learn to be and to enjoy as well, even when some things are just not easy, enjoyable, because it's so much hard stuff around ourselves all the time.
And for us as human beings to be able to learn about unconditional love.
Yes.
Because as human beings, we are wired to look at everything in a very transactional manner.
Yeah.
Including our relationship with God, with religion, with other people, with our lovers, with our partners. It doesn't matter who.
Yeah.
Somehow there is that element of transaction.
Yeah.
Which is just not there with animals.
No.
And I think we become better human beings thanks to them, right?
Yeah.
At least I think so.
Yes, well, I'm completely on your side, like, totally. Hey, Anjali, you have been as well in America. You have been working in a community-based organization in New York, or in different ones probably even, for migrants from Southeast Asia. What was your experience?
This is when I first started work there. It was part of my master's requirements to work with a community-based organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I ended up working with this organization in Brooklyn, where I started my HIV work too. Mm-hmm. So I started working with undocumented migrant labor from Haiti and Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
My boss there at that time realized that I had, and I didn't know this for myself, but she felt that I would make a good counselor and a very good trainer. And she got me trained by the Department of Health, New York City.
Wow.
And that's how I got into this work. And, you know, that I had a lot of friends who were at that time dying of HIV, and the situation was very bad in the US also, where people were not getting admitted, not getting, hospitals wouldn't take them in.
Mm-hmm.
Situation was bad.
Yeah.
And that was also a huge learning, because somehow, having gone from India, one assumed that, one never thought something like this would happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize how there are so many factors which come into play, right? When we're looking at life and attitudes and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a learning, quite an experience. And I realized with HIV, it makes you, it slaps you in the face every day and makes you look at inequalities. It makes you look at issues of caste and class, especially in our setup.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I think once you start working with HIV, you never move away. You can't, can't. Because it grounds you in a very different manner. So yeah, I feel I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky to be able to do all this that I've been allowed to do. Yeah.
I can imagine you face a lot of hard moments in your life, like crazy hard stories. And I'm not sure if you want to share something, but if you want, was there a story you would like to share, what you learned from it as well, or how you have been able to grow from it? Because I learn at the moment that and I just say it now how I feel it, okay? I don't put something in front of my mouth. The biggest shit I was going through was in the end the biggest teaching for me as well. But first, I didn't see it as a teaching. I was broken many times. But then I found out, wow, this was kind of a teaching as well. And at the same time, I was growing to a stronger activist because I was going through things like that. Do you have something you want to share about this?
experience? You know, for me, I think, just as you're saying, I think it is multiple events.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the hard part was the loss of these children, but I think the hardest for me was the loss of my brother, mm-hmm. who was very close to
me.
Mm-hmm. It's been what, he died in, when did, he died in 2002,
mm-hmm.
the year after the event in the US in you know, when World Trade Center was knocked down. That was 2001, I think. So he died mm-hmm. in 2002. Yeah. And I still am not able to deal with it in spite of everything.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because when he died, he had stomach cancer. And he was a doctor. He was a multi-organ transplant surgeon, only 39 when he died. Just going to turn 40. And I remember one of the things he said was, look, I'm going to leave money so that you buy and put a roof, buy land and put a roof over the children's heads.
Yeah.
Because you always fight with everybody and the government and you're never going to get anything. Mm-hmm. So you please secure them.
Wow.
So, and if he hadn't done that, I think I would have been in a very different place. It would have been so difficult
mm-hmm.
to be able to do what we've been able to do for the children.
Wow.
And through that also, you know, secure me, saying that you should never feel scared. You should never feel that you can't do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do All Creatures Great and Small because of that thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I just think these events in your life, as you were saying,
mm-hmm.
Somehow also give you the strength to continue doing what you can.
Mm-hmm.
They make you realize that it doesn't make sense not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as I get older, people tell me, isn't it time you retired? And I'm like, actually, in my head, I feel like I'm 20.
Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, I see you. You are speaking like, I mean, you have such a wise speaking, a wise talks, but you don't look like, I mean, I could not imagine how what your age is, because what I feel is 20.
Right.
In your heart.
Listen, I'm convinced I'm 20. I'm sorry. I have got beyond that.
I love it. But
it's so incredible, you know. I mean, especially in India, but once you turn 50, you are an old person. 50 is like you're a senior citizen kind of thing. And so I'm 65.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see, I would have mentioned that one. Wow. Okay. Well done, girl.
I definitely am one of those 65-year-olds who feels 20.
And you know, that's a good thing. When I wrote you an email, I wrote, hey, girl. And later I thought, oh, maybe this was not so nice. I don't even know you yet.
It was very nice.
And in the end, I feel like, oh, it fits perfectly.
No, totally. But you know, that's it. So, especially in India, they'll say, like, why don't you have a driver? I'm like, why? Mm. Why? Why would I need a driver as long as I can drive?
Do people expect that?
Yes, totally.
Because of the age?
Yeah, or horrified. Yes, part of it is, oh, yes, totally because of my age.
Okay.
And of course, I drive a huge truck. So they're like, you know.
Oh, I can't imagine the faces of the people then. How funny.
It's very funny.
I like it.
But, you know, this is life. There's so much joy. You have to allow it to happen for yourself.
Yes, that's a point really I am working on right now, because I'm an activist since 9 years, much shorter than you are. And still I have seen some things which have been so hard and so like messed up what humanity is able to do to animals, that sometimes I never lost hope. That's why I'm able to make this movie, because I always saw people like you who do something and who act for hope and for a better world. But I saw many things where I really sometimes thought, where do we go to? I mean, did you ever lose it? Was there ever a moment for you?
All the time.
All the time.
But But you know how I deal with it? And I really want to share this with you.
Yeah.
And it's a very, I'm going to say something that is politically incorrect.
Sometimes let's say how it is. Sometimes
it works. Yeah. I refuse to look at the big picture.
Yeah.
Because I think when you look at the big picture, it can paralyze you.
Oh yeah. It's
too, and it doesn't let you do anything.
Yeah.
So of course I've done big picture things like decriminalize homosexuality in this country. But it didn't come from a big picture thing. It came from really wanting to help that one person who had been given shock treatment to make him straight. Right? It is unbelievable.
Wow. People are getting shots to make him straight. Wow.
Yes.
I did not even know that one. Wow. This is insane.
Yes. That's how. But it was that one person who made me take on the system. I was like, no one in their right mind can hear this and allow it to continue happening.
Yeah.
Right? So I think what happens is, if you can touch that one life, it doesn't matter if it's human or animal. If you can bring some kind of sucker to that one life, give it that love, give it that care, give it that freedom from fear. If you can do it even for that one individual, I think you've accomplished why you've come onto this planet. At least I feel I've accomplished why I've come on this planet. Because at the end of the day, if we start looking at, there are millions who need this. How do we do anything?
Yeah. I get what you mean. I get it so much. And this is such a good thing to hear, this political incorrect sentence. Not always just look at the big picture. I try to see the big picture, the backgrounds, the connections. But really, this is sometimes so heavy and so much that in the last months, I felt sometimes I lost a bit of my lightness. I want to get my lightness back because it needs to be fun to care for this world, not just sad all the time. And because otherwise, at some point, you can't do anything anymore because you just burn.
And the world is worth caring for.
Yes.
See, that's what we must never forget. Never forget. There are so many incredible souls.
Yeah.
And if all of us, we reach out to that one and they reach out to one, how the cycle is going to continue. And you're seeing it. You see it in your work. I see it in my work. Yeah. It's possible.
Yes.
But so therefore, I think we should, and you, especially someone like you, who's been doing this incredible work around the environment, you have to allow yourself that space. You have to allow yourself that ability to absorb that pain.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It is how do you absorb it and how do you learn to live with it without allowing it to completely take away your life?
Yeah.
Because that can easily happen.
Oh, yes. That can happen. And I felt parts of that and I don't want to go that road. So I feel really... Wow, this interview right now is like a best therapy for me. I think it can help many people who are listening today because this is really amazing what you're saying, because I know so many activists who face similar situations like my boyfriend's faced when you lose it.
You
feel like it's too much. You can't change anything.
Yeah.
And that's because we look too much on this big picture. It's really good to focus on what I can do right here, right now. For this,
just that one soul. Yes. Just that one soul.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, I feel that I have to go to India now.
You have to. Because India also, in all its madness, and we are going through a very difficult period in our country. Things are not the way they used to be. And this is true for the world. Wherever you look around you, the homophobia, the Islamophobia, the religious bigotry, all of it, it's not just any one country. I think all of us in this world are suffering from it.
Yeah.
And we all have to be able to negotiate our way out of this, mm-hmm. and find a way to somehow make this world, even if it is a slightly better place, we have to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is no hope. And I'm also thinking of something like COVID. If that doesn't change the way we are behaving, nothing is going to.
What is? Yeah.
Yeah. What is going to? And nothing can make it clearer, right? That human beings, that we as a species need to work with other species, need to make the land a part of who we are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to leave nothing for the next few generations.
Yes.
But I think there's so much to do. And that's why it's important that someone like you does not give up. It's very critical.
Yeah.
Because you're still young. You're still, you know, you and younger people are the hope now for the future. Though at times I feel really hopeless, especially when I see people being killed on basis of religion and caste, and it doesn't make sense.
Yes, it doesn't.
It doesn't make sense, and you don't know how to cope with it. At least I don't know how to cope with it. Mm. And it's the every time I see this happen, one loses hope. I see something like Roe versus Wade being overturned in the US, and I'm going, Jesus, what's happening?
Yeah.
Right? I see journalists being imprisoned everywhere, and I see human rights activists being killed. It's a crazy world we're living in. Mm-hmm. And how does one make sense of it?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm believing more and more in this of reaching out to help one life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really, really beautiful and very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you. Yeah, one of my questions would have been as well, do you have hope? I mean,
oh, yes.
Even if you sometimes lose a bit of it, but
yeah.
You gain it
totally.
Back.
Totally. Otherwise, how do we do what we're doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
We can't lose. We can't afford to lose hope in hope. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Because then we're left with nothing in this world. And
for
this
me,
is something all of us must realize.
For me, you are one of these big figures of hope, I really have to say, because when people ask me what is hope for you, I had no answer for a while. I did not know how to describe it. But for me, hope, now I know it more and more. It is this active hope, because I can sit on the couch, I can stay sitting here and say, yeah, I have hope, everything will be fine, but not do anything about it.
Yeah.
That doesn't change it. I have to go out there and be active and do something. First of all, as well, I have to clean myself and heal myself from whatever I am going through. I have to do that too. That's important. But I think that this happens as well while acting for others, that you help and heal yourself as well at the same time. And I think the people who are active, that's why activism, the word activism is sometimes so negatively seen. I think it's amazing. It's being active. Mm-hmm. That's everything we need. That this combines everything of what this world needs. So I am happy to know people like you. And I really feel honored as well. Again, I can just say it again to talk to you right now.
Wow. And I hope to see you in India.
Yes, I'm very happy to come to visit you. I really have to say, I was there 4 years ago to film for the movie at the All Creatures Great and Small. But I did not have so much time. I was there for one day or a half day. I feel I need to get there, back there, to you and to really make an interview with you about
absolutely it. Come
thank
absolutely
you so much.
Come.
Amazing. Thank you. Hey, I think the time for the podcast is kind of over. Do you have something you still want to share with our community? Do you want to, is there some message or something you really want to still get out there today?
For me, it is all about reaching out to take care of that one soul. Please remember that. And if all of us, and this community is such a large one. If each one of us does it, we really can help everyone around us. But more than that, we can really help ourselves. Because this thing about giving is also we give not because we have Mother Teresa or whatever. But I think I give because I get so much more back in return.
Yes.
And that really gives us so much of joy.
Yeah. Wow, beautiful words. Thank you so much. Anjali, how can people support you? I have already something in mind how I want to support you, but how can people who listen to this podcast now, how can they support you or get in contact with you? I will definitely put some in links, what you sent me in the show notes.
Sure.
But is there something that people can do right away?
I don't know. Whatever way they want to help in, whatever works for them is what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only about helping us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be us. It has to be helping someone. It doesn't matter who you help. And of course, if you help us, it's great because it helps us. But as far as I'm concerned, you see, we are living in a world where there are all kinds of restrictions.
Mm.
So if you can't help us, please help someone, but just help someone, right?
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much, Anjali, for this time.
No, thank you really so much.
Well, dear community, I can imagine that you are same overwhelmed like me. And I give you now space to think about what we were talking about. So I finish this podcast for today. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Anjali, for your amazing time.
Anytime. Bye.